From the DoubleTree Hotel in Mount Vernon, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist from the U of I, will join us to discuss his talking points for the day as it's related to the Illinois Farm Economics Summit, speaking of which, we'll be out all week tomorrow. And the Crown Plaza in Springfield, Illinois. Pre-registrations are good to go. If you want to walk in, 7:45 a.m. we open up, $90, and you're welcome to do that. And then on Wednesday, we'll be in East Peoria at the Paradise Hotel and Casino. Thursday at Ferrandis in DeKalb, and in Champaign at the I Hotel on Friday. I hope you can catch up with us. In the mean space, you'll be hearing from that all week long. We'll also today talk with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. And we'll do all of that on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now joining us to take a look at what happened in Chicago, and we're recording early over the noon hour today because, of course, I'm traveling, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. It looks like it was a good night for the trade in Chicago, and that continued through the day, at least through about 12:20, 12:30 this afternoon, with corn prices being up 6 to 7 cents at that time, soybeans around 12 higher, and the wheat rallying anywhere between 18 and 23 cents. What's happening in Chicago today, Kurt?
Well, first of all, I'm starting to like these Monday spots after all, after a brutal 3 or 4 months down, so I'm willing to stay here Monday here for a while, Todd. But yes, it's nice to see some follow-through buying. We basically continue to see some optimism with China-U.S. Deal for the most part, $40 billion over 2 years. And they're not going to release a whole lot of details on that. Why would they want to tell ahead of time what they're going to do and let the market run up? So it'll be some time here after the first year before it's probably signed. Then we'll start to see more details after that. But quite a bit of optimism there. Then we kind of break down the individual commodities. Probably affecting all the commodities is the rise in the export tax in Argentina. That's expected to push a little bit more business our way. Then also to the South American forecast, we're looking at a drier situation starting to occur in some spots. So if they fail to see some real good moisture producers here, we can start to see maybe a little stress in the not only the growing bean crop, but also wheat. Wheat is the leader today. It's led by dry South America, dry Australia, and also, too, we're seeing preliminary estimates that wheat acreage could be down as much as 700,000 to 900,000 acres. And that could kind of add to the bottom line here as far as whittling away the carryout estimate. Also, too, wheat was mentioned or talked about in the U.S.-Chinese talks there, so some wheat business could be just around the corner here. Corn continues to inch higher in through here. Last week, we had a weekly price reversal to the upside, had a full moon low. And also, too, when we look at the strong U.S. corn basis here, it's just not here in the U.S., but starting to show up in Brazil. We're seeing some sharply higher corn basis in Brazil. One of the larger meat packers who feed out some livestock has to come into the open market and pick up about 200,000 tons of corn. So we're seeing a situation where not only here in the U.S., but even the Southern Hemisphere, we're starting to see some fairly strong cash markets occur. And so that's given the trade some optimism in here starting out the last full week of trade ahead of year end.
So a couple of things. Is there any concern that these kind of price moves are overdone based on end-of-the-year profit-taking, on rebalancing of some of the bigger funds, or really are there fundamental reasons for this market to be lifted higher?
Well, the main thing is the bear had Thanksgiving, so the bull's going to have Christmas here, hopefully. But no, it's a combination of what you mentioned there. The commodity funds were short over 120, almost 130,000 contracts of corn. They bought fairly aggressive there late last week. I think they're short about 80-some thousand contracts now. So, yeah, as we move into year-end here, we believe we're going to see the commodity funds continue to try to lighten the load on the short side. But the overall harvest being fairly well over with for the most part, you know, once a guy puts the grain in a bin or pays that minimum storage, it's awful, awful hard to shake it loose. So seasonally, traditionally, when we're in this situation, we see some strength going into the first year until another round of sales occur. Also, too, when you kind of visit with some of these elevator guys, they're fairly well bought up for now, and guys just aren't interested in selling it. And also, they're echoing here in the Eastern Belt, the bushels just aren't quite there as they were a year ago. So there's quite a few factors falling in place in here where we can hopefully see some recovery follow through going into year end. March corn futures are 388 as we speak here. Technically, you know, if we can close above 386, that kind of sets the stage to test 396. Then we can maybe go on up to challenge the early fall high at 411. Same thing in these March beans. We were near the 62% retracement level at 936. If we can close above 936, kind of looking for a move on up to this 960 area. So both those higher numbers would be kind of price targets to shoot for here in the next week or two to get caught up on some sales.
And do you want to do that in corn rather than soybeans?
I think we got to be caught up in both of them together. I believe corn probably has a little bit more solid footing under it a longer term, whereas beans, as we move into 2020, if we don't see some weather concerns, port strike, dock strike, or whatever, I think we could be subject to kind of drifting back to the lower end. So beans are highly dependable on the Southern Hemisphere news. The Chinese business, I believe, will be more down the road than this winter. I think the buying interest will start to come in probably during the summer months as they start to book 2020 crop.
Do you expect then that this current rally to be limited in scope, but will we end up at a higher base level?
Well, I think we can recover in here. Someone or something did not want the market to go up, and I think they went on vacation here, so I think we've got some upside here over a while. I think the trade got a little too bearish. When you look at the bottom line, we have less ending stocks than a year ago, but this past week or two, we were near 4 to 5 year lows. So fundamentally, I think the function of the market is to try to firm up until we get a better handle on the Southern Hemisphere and generate some more, some additional producer selling. So there's going to be some opportunities in here. The key is don't get too greedy and take advantage of it, and stay flexible in your marketing plan or your marketing in general. We kind of like moving the cash grain, replacing it with a covered position. That way, longer term, if this market does move higher, you can recoup some to the upside, but not be subject to some type of bearish news. So it's kind of a money management game here as we move into year end.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. I'm traveling all this week for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits with the Agricultural Economist, the Farm Doc Daily team. We sure would love you to join us for one of these events. We'll be in Springfield tomorrow at the Crown Plaza. Registration opens at 7:45 a.m. Walk-ins are certainly welcome. The cost is just $90. On Wednesday, we'll be in East Peoria at the casino there, the Paradise, and then Thursday in Ferrandas in DeKalb, and Friday back at the University of Illinois in the iHotel. Walk-ins are welcome each day. Well, on this Monday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us. Let's get right to it. I'm going to start in South America. We're concerned about the crops there, of course. What are conditions like? They have had some dryness.
Yeah, and that dryness, Todd, has really been focused in the areas of Argentina. Before getting into the details of Argentina, though, Brazil continues to be in good shape. And while they've had a little bit of a slower start in the rainy season back, this was back a couple months ago, but since those rains kicked in, they've had very favorable conditions. And even the northeastern acreage has gotten in the rains. And as a result, soil moisture reserves are generally adequate across the vast majority of acreage. In Argentina, though, it's been a different story, especially in the southern portion of the grain belt, i.e. Buenos Aires and La Pampa, where conditions have trended drier. And as we look out throughout the remainder of December, there are going to be two main opportunities for rain in the drier southern belt, one of which is coming up this weekend or late this weekend into the start of the weekend. As it looks right now, that looks more of a scattered minor producer. Really the better of the two opportunities looks to be next week during the December 25th through 27th timeframe. That does look to be a longer duration opportunity. And some of the computer model guidance is showing widespread rains across the belt, including that dry southern acreage. We find those projections right now debatable. We got to see how that rolls forward, but that is the focus of attention now, and obviously those rains here would be very timely and very important if they do verify what's projected on some of the computer model guidance.
Anything further out that you're watching there?
Still, we feel overall that this season needs to be monitored for Argentina. Again, we've seen that trend in drier conditions be in place, starting from day one of planting. And then from a sea surface temperature standpoint, there still are some signals longer term into January and February of some increased risk of dryness in Argentina there. So still something to keep an eye on longer term for the region as the growing season continues January onward.
What about conditions in Brazil?
Yeah, Brazil still longer term continues to be in good shape. We're not seeing any signals of any big problems evolving across the region. And it's really the area to watch is Argentina.
All right. Finally, if you could give us an update of what the weather will look like for our part of the world here in Illinois. I'll be traveling all week. Kind of rough conditions yesterday in the southern part of the state. Any problems the rest of the week?
No, it looks pretty quiet, Todd, the remainder of this week. So following today's storminess or kind of a wintry mix there across areas of the southern Midwest, quieter conditions, albeit colder than normal conditions the next couple of days, but that looks to be followed up by a warmer or milder pattern from late this week, even on through Christmas week as well.
Oh, fantastic. Hey, thanks so much, and we appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Well, I'm traveling this week, as you know, with the Farm Doc team. We're in Mount Vernon today. We'll be in Springfield tomorrow. You're welcome to walk into those meetings. Registration happens to open at about 7:45 a.m. We'll be at the Crown Plaza on Tuesday and then in East Peoria on Wednesday. We'll be at the Paradise Hotel and Casino, the hotel right there in East Peoria. And same thing, 7:45 if you want to walk in. I think the cost is now $90, if I remember correctly, to do that. And during the morning, and you'll end up with a meal at the end of the morning, what you'll hear from a whole bunch of folks at the University of Illinois, including Gary Schnitke. He talks a lot about what the season looked like, what the numbers that were generated for farm income look like, and how that all came out, especially as it's concerning prevent plant and or planting corn in the state of Illinois, and then really what things happened nationally as well. He joins us now to talk a little bit about that. So I think one of the most interesting things, Gary, because you and I are in the same building, is, and I remember the date only because it was before the day of my birthday. So on May the 8th, I know you and I had a conversation that aired on the radio about taking Prevent Plant. This was May 8th. You wrote an article for the Farm Doc Daily website on May 14th. Prevent Plant in Illinois, most of Illinois, isn't to June 5th. It's just a few counties in the very, very tip, southern tip of Illinois that's earlier than that. So why is it that you were on target at that point as it relates to Prevent Plant, or were thinking about it so very early?
So, yeah, you just looked at the way the weather was shaping up, and you knew, we didn't know how widespread Prevent Plant was, but you knew it was going to hit some area because the whole eastern corn belt was delayed, and you were looking at the weather forecast, and you were saying, this is going to continue. We're going to have people in that May 28th in extreme southern Illinois and June 5th that are going to face this decision of taking Prevent Plant.
You compare Prevent Plant, and everybody's going to want to know this, to planting corn in the state of Illinois. Run through some of the numbers for me.
Yeah, so if you look at taking Prevent Plant corn versus planting corn, our numbers in a typical year would show Prevent Plant corn is the alternative that you should take. We built a special case in June 5th, and we built in $45 for MFP payments if you planted crops. We didn't include the other case where you would get an additional disaster assistance payment on RP because we didn't know what that was at that point in time. If you built that $45 additional price in, added 50 cents to cost, or 50 cents to the price of corn taking the corn, planting corn seemed like a good alternative. As it turns out, it was not. And what happened was prices fell. We're looking at $3.90 for harvest price, and roughly the same for cash prices right now. Maybe that's a little bit high. You're looking at $40 higher drying cost, which should be factored in the analysis, and MFP and the extra WIP payments evened out. So it turns out that planting corn in most cases was a poorer alternative compared to taking Prevent Plant.
So let me go back through those and kind of summarize this. So we knew that there would be an MFP payment. You included that in your thought process at the time for planting corn, but not for Prevent Plant. In general, in Illinois, you say if we reach June 5th, Prevent Plant is what you should do. And on June 5th, it's just a decision, do I plant or not plant? It doesn't matter what the weather conditions are right or wrong. Once we get to that date, it's just a decision, do I plant or not plant? And you did not include at that point, the 15% bump up in the crop insurance payout for Prevent Plant. And when you put those numbers all together at the end of the day, what happened was the 50 extra cents that you thought might be in the harvest price option, correct? Right?
It went
away. And what did the per acreage income actually look like then?
So we went from a $48 plus for planting to minus 98 for planting. So it's a big swing. A lot of that swing is due to the price change. So if you look at it, we were using higher harvest prices at that point in time. We were using what the market was at that point in time, which is in the 435 to 450 % range or bushel range. It turns out it was 390. So you take off, the harvest price turns out to be $3.90 for corn. So if you take off 40 cents, you know, that's where our biggest revenue decline came from. MFP, we built in $45 of MFP payment. It essentially netted out. This MFP payment was $65 to $70 and some $75 in central Illinois. The 15% WIP payment on RP plus $15 of MFP for planting cover crops caused those to roughly even out. So you had about the same there. And then drying costs, we had $40-$50 higher in drying costs this year because of the late harvest and higher moisture levels, and that takes away from the returns from prevent plant.
So a loss of $98 if you planted.
Relative to taking prevent plant.
Well, a loss of $98 in income, but if you did prevent plant, you made $45?
Yeah, so you made a modest amount. Well, nobody's making a lot of money this year. So, you know, you would have made $98 more, and it's probably in the $15 to $20 an acre range. No one, if you took prevent plant, you're not getting wealthy. You're holding your own. Everybody's just going to sort of hold their own this year. And the MFP payment's really helping that, but so are the, would have the 15% on additional RP payment.
So that I have this right, just straightforward, and I'm going to round. So prevent plant is even, and you lost $100 if you plant it. Okay. In the calculations, did it matter whether you had applied nitrogen yet or not?
Yeah, so if you had most of your inputs on, planting corn in the first week of June makes sense because you have incurred most of the cost. That actually wasn't the case on most Illinois farms this year. We didn't have much done, so probably didn't have much fertilizer on or, you know, our nitrogen on. So if you have your nitrogen on, pesticides down, you're going to plant corn. If you don't, it favors more prevent plant.
What are the primary takeaways, a couple of them?
So the primary takeaway is farmers have an inclination to plant in Illinois. And you develop a plan before the fact. And my inclination would be that you probably should have a strong inclination to take prevent plant once that final plant date has arrived. Another thing is, if you're planting late, build in $40-$50 more for drying cost, because it's probably going to cost you that much. Probably the third one is, if you're going to do something because of price some of it.
That's a Darryl Good saying.
Yeah, that is a Darryl Good saying, and it's true.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnicki, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Remember, you can catch up with he and I and the rest of the Farm Doc team anytime this week in the state of Illinois. Tomorrow on Tuesday, we'll be in Springfield at the Crown Plaza, Wednesday at the Paradise Hotel in East Peoria, Thursday at Ferrandez in DeKalbin, on Friday in Champaign. Walk-ins are welcome. Registration for those Illinois Farm Economic Summits opens at 7:45 a.m. All the details are online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu, or you can find them on our website at WILLAG.org.